My wife and I had the opportunity yesterday to visit and fellowship with the Asantes and Brother Freeburg. Such a blessing to have them with us. This couple has been ministering now for 27 years there in Accra in Ghana, West Africa. And the Lord has given them a tremendous burden for the entire country. They do an extensive amount of traveling throughout the country. They've established many works. Two Christian schools have been started as a result of their ministry. They're not stopped by lack of facilities. You know, it wouldn't take much to stop today in America. If you didn't have facilities, you wouldn't have anybody coming to your thing. And yet, they use trees to meet underneath, and they have school. And the Lord has blessed in a remarkable way. And so I trust that you will also catch some of the vision that he has for his country and his desire to go and to reach his land with the gospel. So, Dr. Asante, if you'd come, please, and share what the Lord has laid on your heart this morning.
Again, Pastor Todd, thank you very much for this opportunity again to share with you the Word of God. I must also say thank you to Brother Freeburg over here. It's good to have men like that. Otherwise, we'll be lost. And for him to drive us around, and there are people that you need to pray for and do whatever you can to support them in this ministry. Sometimes we will not recognize the importance of their services, but if they are not there, we can't be here. And so we appreciate that, Brother Freeburg. God bless you very much. The first time I came to the States was in 1999 on the ticket of IPM, who was interested in liaising with national missionaries in church planting. And until we came in contact with IPM in 1997, our local mission agency in Ghana, Solid Rock Baptist Missions, we had been able to establish five churches, fundamental Baptist churches. But since we came into partnership with IPM, by the grace of God, we've been able to add 25 more churches to that. And so we have 30 fundamental Baptist churches scattered throughout the country. That tells you what we are able to do when we collaborate our efforts. I think it's a healthy, good partnership in doing the work of the Lord. But I had an experience when I came in 1999. My first stop was in Tennessee. I was there for 1 month, and that was my first time traveling outside the country to the U.S. And I've been to spend time with one of our reps at that time. And because of lack of space in his home, his couch was my bed. And they had a cat, C-A-T, cat in their home. And I believe strongly, before I got into that home, the cat was the bed for the cat. And so every night I have to struggle with him. You know, I will sleep, and this cat called Alex would jump on my chest, and I'll, you know, throw him off. And so these things continued for some time. One morning, I was in the sitting room reading. This brother was in his bedroom. And the cat made an attempt to go out. And so I called him and said, "Brother, the cat is going out." He said, "It's all right." Maybe he did not understand what I said because of my accent at that time. And so if he said it's all right, then it was all right for Alex to go out. So Alex went out. And then the brother comes to me and said, "Brother Asante, where is Alex?" I said, "Well, brother, Alex has gone out." I asked you and you said it was okay. He got so mad and he issued a threat. "But Alfred, go look for the cat." Now, beloved, I was new in America. I knew nowhere. And we're living in the outskirts of town in Tennessee. And he issues the command, "Alfred, go look for the cat." And so I get out of the house and I start looking for Alex. And I'll be shouting, "Alex, where are you? Alex, where are you?" And I jump over barbed wires and, you know, bushes. And I tell you what, I went on my knees crying to God and said, "God, please bring Alex home." And he said to me, "If you don't find Alex tomorrow, we are not going to your meeting." beloved, I came to America to preach the gospel, not to look for cats. But because of the command he gave, I was praying and literally crying on my knees in the bush over there, God lead me to Alex. Well, we didn't find Alex. And you had your football season at that time, so he said, let's go to one of my son's home to watch the football. I had no desire to watch football anyway. And then while we were there, the cat was for his daughter. He said, if I don't find a cat, my daughter is going to kill me. Well, the daughter gets home, Alex is nowhere to be found. She looks around and finds Alex. That engaged in a fight with another strong cat, beat Alex. Alex is wounded. And the girl called and said, well, Dad, I found Alex is wounded and I've arranged for an ambulance to come for Alex to the hospital. And I sat there and said, a cat? An ambulance for a cat to a hospital? But I learned one lesson from that. When I went back to my country, I shared this with the people and I said, look, if people are so passionate about their pets, and I have respect for that, and I will go on my knees and cry and pray to God to lead me to Alex, then I must obey the command of the Lord. Go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I bring to you a message I've titled, Obeying the Great Commission. It is a very common portion of God's word. And the more we get familiar with the things of Scripture, the more we lose the value. And we don't pay attention any longer. It is interesting to know that before Christ ascended to heaven, he made an appointment with the disciples that they should meet him at a mountain. So there was an appointed place for them to meet him in Matthew 28 and verse 11. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So Jesus had an appointment with his disciples, a place to meet with him, a place where the Lord would speak to them, instruct them, charge them, encourage them, inspire them, to carry on with the ministry that he began while he was gone. And friends, God has appointed a place for us too. And that place is here. We could have been other places this morning, but we chose to be here. But the Bible charges us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, so much the more as we see the day drawing close. And church, we got to be very careful about what is happening in our society today. People are making all kinds of excuses for not coming to church. And I hear some of these things are happening in my country where people think that we are so busy and we can't go to church. I went very late last night on Saturday, so I can't go to church on Sunday morning because I need to prepare to go to work on Monday. People are neglecting what is essential and what is important. And no wonder we are missing the blessings of the Lord because constantly we are disobeying the command of the Lord. There is no better place for you to be this morning than to be here, the house of God. But then why are we here? We are here so we can worship the Lord. And we worship the Lord with all reverence because we are worshiping the thrice holy God in whose presence seraphims and cherubims fall down and they worship him. And indeed, when the disciples met him at the mount, according to verse 17, the Bible says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. We are here to worship. And I hope that you are here to worship the Lord. And I hope that there's no doubt in your heart whatsoever that the Lord is here with us. He has said in his word, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Why is he here? He's here to bless us. The Lord is here to speak to our hearts. The Lord is here to encourage us. And the Lord is here to inspire us on to do what we know to do. But the Bible adds another portion to the God's way. But some doubted. Those who came together, whereas some were worshiping the Lord, they were excited about the things of the Lord. Some had doubts in their minds. Is he really the one? And maybe you sit here this morning and say, is he really here? Yes, he is. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you believe that he lives in your heart, don't you? He lives in your heart by his Holy Spirit, who has sealed you until the day of redemption. Now when we come into the house of God, we must come in the attitude of worship. Worship a holy God. Exalt his name. Let's praise him with all our souls as he puts a new song on our lips every morning. But the Lord is going to ascend. And before he ascends, he gives the last command. We call it the Great Commission. But I call it the marching orders of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say in verse 18? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is the Lord saying? I am the one who died. I was buried, and yea, I'm risen to die no more. And I'm going back to the Father. And because I go to him, he's giving me all power in heaven and on earth. Whatever I ask you to do, just believe that my power backs you. You have my power to do it. He told the disciples, don't you leave Jerusalem to go and do any evangelism until the Holy Ghost has come upon you and he shall receive power after he's come upon you and he shall be witnesses unto me. Beloved, we need the power of God to do his work. And thank God that the Holy Spirit of God cannot be bought. We can't beg for the Holy Spirit. Praise God, it is a gift of God. And once you believe in him as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell you in full and seals you until the day of redemption and gives you the power to work for him. You and I need not afraid to preach the gospel of Christ because of the blessed Holy Spirit who lives in us. In the morning I spoke about don't be ashamed of the gospel. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will not be afraid. He tells us, fear not, I am with you. If you go through the waters, they will not swallow you up. If you go through the fires, they will not burn you, for I, God, will be with you. And so the Lord says, all power is given unto me. Why did he give us the power of the Holy Spirit? And I've heard a lot of people claiming that they have the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are able to tell you that they have the power of the Holy Spirit because they speak some kind of a language that only angels understand. And I ask them, what is the language of angels? Because wherever in Scripture angels have been sent by God, they come to us. And they speak in an understandable language, a language that you and I understand. We miss Scripture. We misquote Scripture. We misinterpret Scripture. Show me a man who is witnessing for the Lord. Show me a man who is living a holy, pure, dedicated life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you a man who is full of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are humbled by God. And you desire to see other people saved. You like to share tracts. You like to knock at doors and bring people in. And you are not afraid because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that the Lord does not tell us to do anything without giving us the power to do that. And so the first thing it says is that all power is given unto me. And friends, once we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Lord, we cannot fail. We got to succeed. Victory is ours. He won the victory for us some 2,000 years ago on our behalf. But you see, the Lord also tells us how to do this job. He gives us his power and he shows us the program that he has aligned for us in the Great Commission. I'm taking my time to go through this because of what is happening in Christendom today. Many people think today that if you can have a lot of activities going on in your church, if you can have a church where you can entertain people, they come and they feel good, then you have a wonderful church. Well, friends, if you go to church and feel good all the time, you are in the wrong place. Because sometimes you must feel bad because the Spirit of God must speak to your heart, rebuke you, and bring you on track. And so the Lord shows us in this way the program that the church has to run. First of all, in verse 19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach." That is the program of the Lord. It does not say, go and heal people. I see all kinds of things in my country. People claiming to have the power of the Holy Spirit and they heal people. And many things here in America are transmitted to us. We see people claiming healing people and doing all kinds of things. Well, friends, I'm not here to heal people physically. I'm here that through the preaching and the sharing of the word of God, somebody will be healed spiritually. Those who are asleep will be raised and working by the Lord to serve him. But the program here is teach. And I believe that the word teach over here simply means that as we go out over there obeying the command of the Lord, we must teach the world their state, that they are sinners, without an apology. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must let people know that we are not good. There is no goodness in us apart from God himself. And so people, regardless of their status in society, regardless of who they are, must humble themselves and say that in the presence of God, I am nothing but a sinner condemned to die. We must teach the world that the wages of sin is death. But praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must teach the world that God loved them, made a provision for them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must lead them to faith. That is the program in the Great Commission. So we go to people and we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, who died for their sins. And once the program is attested to, then the question is, who do I preach to? Who do I preach to? Where do I have this program? Yes, in the church, but also out over there. We must understand this, that nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say, all sinners, go to church and be saved. They will never come. But the Bible says, all Christians, go ye to the highways and the byways and compel them and bring them in. And so it is our responsibility to do that. So I've shown you the power of God to carry on the Great Commission. I've also shared with you the program of God to be run, teaching people their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the Bible also shows us our parish. Where are we to go? Look at verse 19 again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So you see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ cuts across all boundaries. It's for every nation. It's for the whole world. It's for American here. It's for the British. It is for Asians. It's for Africans. It's for everybody. And that's what I want us to see this morning, that when we are fulfilling and obeying the Great Commission of the Lord, we should not remain in our Jerusalem. We must move on to Samaria, to Judea, and to the utmost part of the world. That is the parish of the Great Commission. But you know what? There are many places that you and I cannot go to physically, but we can reach the ends of the world with our prayers, praying that God's word will succeed. And I pray to God that this church, these believers gathered together this morning, will come to the appreciation of the fact that our parish is not limited to this area. We got to move on to the highways and byways. That is the parish, getting to other places with the gospel and making sure that they know Christ as their personal Savior too. The question is, are we obeying this great command that the Lord has given unto us? As part of the program in verse 19, when people are saved in the different parts of the world, in different places, as we fulfill the parish of the Lord, there is one more thing that we need to do. There is the first teach, and then there is the second teaching, which is a continuous presence, something that we must continue to do. And that means that when we have led people to faith in Christ, we must teach them. The next thing to do is to get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as an obedience to the command of Christ. And then also, we must teach them to live right for God. We must teach them to pursue a life of holiness without which no man can see God. We must teach against sin. We live in a society today when we have changed everything. We have given names. We change names. Sin is no more sin. It's a mistake. They tell you, I made a mistake. Somebody gets into immorality, fornication. He said, no, it's not fornication. I made love. They polish everything. The church must stand up against these things and preach and teach our people because, you see, we are supposed to be the light in this world. And people should look at us and see the Lord Jesus Christ in us, his fullness in us. Angels will not come and preach the gospel. He has chosen us. And we are all preachers and sermons in shoes wherever we go. And therefore, we got to live a life that conforms with the scripture and conforms with our calling, working worthy of our vocation. Oh, praise God. The Bible says that when you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, you become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We must share this in our local churches. In carrying on with the Great Commission, we must not relent in teaching our people to walk like the Savior walked. I believe that one of the greatest work the Lord is doing today in your life as a Christian is to conform you into the image of his dear Son, that we might be like the Master. It should be a prayer that I might be like the Master day by day as we follow. And this comes about as we read the scriptures, as we pray, as we fellowship together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to obey the Great Commission, the power backing the Great Commission, the program, the parish. And finally, this morning, as we go preaching, the Lord has also promised us of his presence. If you look at verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Beloved, I tell you one thing. It's not easy living for God. It's not easy working for God. But he's able to help us. And the promise is that I will be with you. Now tell people in my local church, I've been here for these 27 years because of the promise of his presence. He said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, what can man do unto us? The promise of his presence. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. As you endeavor as a young person, as an older person, to share the gospel of Christ with other people, remember one thing, that he says, I will be with you. And it's true. When the Lord promises I'll be with you, he will be with you. Joseph went through all kinds of difficulties in his life, put in the pit, into prison, and eventually the Bible says in the book of Genesis several times, and God was with him. It was not surprising, therefore, that eventually from the pit to the prison, he came to the palace. God elevated him. God says, I will be with you. He was with Daniel when he decided to stand for God. He was put in the lion's den. But interestingly, with the lions and the lion's den with him, nothing happened. You know why? I keep on saying he was a praying man. That night Daniel was praying and God shut the mouths of the lions. And as he prayed and exalted the name of God, the lions were ascending. Daniel, you are right. Your God is true. They were just nodding. They were just saying this. And they never did him anything evil while the Lord was with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to honor the Lord. They were cast into the furnace. It was Nebuchadnezzar who testified. Did we not put three persons in the fire? How come that I say a fourth person? And the countenance of the fourth person is like the Son of God. He was with them over there. My dear brothers and sisters, I leave this with you. Let's obey the great command, the great commission. Let's do it. Let's claim the power of God. Let's fulfill his parish and his program. And let's enjoy and claim the promise of his presence. He will be with us until he comes. May I just conclude by saying, let us continue to labor for him. For as we stand strong, steadfast, unmovable, abounding, always in the work of the Lord, we know that our labor will not be in vain. But I know one thing. He will come very soon. And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Pastor, again, thank you for this opportunity. We may not meet again, but if we don't meet here, if you know Christ, we shall meet up over there. God bless you. Father, thank you very much for our fellowship. Encourage us to be obedient to the Great Commission, the unfinished business that you left for us, that we can bring more to faith in Christ as we build your kingdom. Keep us faithful until you come for us. Bless this church and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.